the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 756. Exceeding precious is my Lord, his love divinely free, and his dear name does health afford to sickly souls like me. 756.
From the Word of God. Once again, we'll read from John chapter 1, but this evening, beginning at verse 29. So, the Gospel according to John, the first chapter, beginning to read at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he now help us in prayer. Almighty, most merciful Lord, we ask thy blessing on the service of thy house this evening. We bless thee for another opportunity of meeting in thy house, in thy name, believing, Jesus, how heavenly is the place where thy dear people wait for thee. Oh, may we be there, waiting for thee, waiting for thy appearing. Thou hast promised that they that wait for thee shall not be ashamed. So we would venture in reverence and godly fear, unworthy, sinful, with the blood of Jesus, our only plea. So may there be that drawing near, entering even into the holiest, with acceptance, by the blood of Jesus. And may our hearts be touched this evening. May a few hearts be touched. Do not pass us by. Oh, we pray, do not leave us to be satisfied with outward, formal things. May we know and possess the reality of vital godliness in thy dear Son, and so may we draw near with acceptance in true worship. And oh, that we might know something of the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Oh, so do bless the assembling of thy people this evening. May it be hungry and poor and lame and blind, hither the blood-bought children fly, in thy deep wounds a balsam find and live, while they behold thee die. Oh, to know that word, because I live, ye shall live also. We beg the Holy Spirit might lead us by faith to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and then up to heaven, where the Lamb is forever exalted. And oh, may we be favoured by precious faith to behold the Lamb of God. To know that truth unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. May we know the sanctifying effect of it in our hearts and lives, that we might walk before thee in thy holy fear, and may we be divinely kept, preserved in our goings out and comings in, even naturally, and in the greater journey of our lives. So we do beg thy blessing amongst thy people here. Bless the gospel ministry in this place. Send faithful men to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And if it be thy holy will, send them a pastor according to thine own heart to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. May they be a praying people, and may their prayers be answered. We ask that they might ever prove thy promise, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And may sinners here be quickened into newness of life by thy Spirit, brought to seek thee and find thee, so ye him whom my soul loveth. And then openly to profess the Saviour's name, as sweetly constrained by his love. So may the Saviour hear, see of the travail of his soul, and be satisfied. We continue to pray for our churches and our ministers. Oh, revive former mercies. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. As we live in this dying, changing world, thou art the same to endless years, and thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is thine ear heavy that it cannot hear. We pray for those ministers who have grown old and who are weak or afflicted or confused. Leave them not, we pray, neither forsake them, for thou hast been their help. And do raise up godly men to speak the truth as it is in Jesus. We pray thou wilt have mercy on our sinful land. May wisdom be given to those in authority. Bind the floods of wickedness from overflowing. Oh, may we live to see better days, to know thou art on the throne, and thou art King in Zion. Be with thy people throughout the whole earth. We ask thee to bless the preaching of the gospel, the spread of thy holy word, and the spread of godly literature, to the praise and honour and glory of thy name. And may we never forget those less favoured than we are, and especially the suffering church. Oh, may they know thy compassion and thy divine protection under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, may we each be found there beneath the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Do save us from vain repetition in prayer, but bless those longing, inquiring souls. Thou hast said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. May that river freely flow from beneath the sacred throne of God, by the way of the cross, to make glad the city of our God, where there is sadness. May the streams thereof make glad the city of our God. Be with those who are downcast, those who seek thee and cannot find thee, those who long for thyself to be revealed to them, to know that they're on the rock, and until then have to pray, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We would ask thee to remember those who were tried and tempted by Satan's sin and unbelief, and those unwell, absent from us here this evening, and the much illness that there is about in our congregations, that thou wilt put forth thy healing hand. But above all, do make us right and ready, prepare us for the great day, that it may not come upon us unawares. And those with their problems and perplexities, those in loneliness, those who are sad, we pray that they might sweetly know the answer to that question, if there be any consolation in Christ, to prove that the consolations of God are not small. We pray that thou wilt bless the young people here. Oh, may they ever seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for thou hast promised all these things shall be given to them. And grant thy blessing on the children, the young people, the little ones. And may they be that seed to serve thee, the generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And do command thy blessing in the Sabbath school, even life, forevermore. But above all, may we know something of nearness to the Saviour, no more far off, but made nigh by the blood of Christ, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And oh, for that closer walk with God, a calm, a heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Oh, may it shine on thy word and on our pathway and in our hearts. We pray, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. 690.
with the Lord's help, I will speak to you this evening once again from John chapter 1, but this evening verses 35, 36, and 37. So, the Gospel according to John, the first chapter, verses 35, 36, and 37. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. This morning it was the glorious gospel of the grace of God. This evening it's the gracious effect of it in sinners' hearts. For what wonderful blessings we read of in the second half of this wonderful chapter. There were five people. As far as we know, they all became apostles of the Lord Jesus. They all became followers of the Lord Jesus. Here is the loving account of the effect of John the Baptist's ministry, the glorious gospel that he preached, especially the work of the Holy Spirit in applying it, making it precious in sinners' hearts. Really, there's a fulfillment here of that beautiful word in the Psalms, "They shall come." Well, there were five of them, and they did come, and they all came to the same place, but they came in different ways. God is sovereign. "They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this." They all declare, "I nothing am. My all is bound up in the Lamb." But they shall come. And really, this work didn't end with John chapter 1, did it? It's been going on ever since, and it will be going on till the end of time, for the Saviour, the dear Lamb of God, shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And beloved friends, it's your mercy and mine, if unworthy as we are, we're numbered amongst them. They were all followers of the Lamb of God. All of them. And you know, when we come to the end, that will be the great, the vital point. Were you, was I, a follower of the Lamb of God? When he makes up the book of life, "Oh, may I find my name among the chosen of his love the followers of the Lamb. So, after John's preaching, we see these five gathered in. Andrew and the unknown, unnamed disciple, usually assumed to be John himself, John the writer of the Gospel, because this is the way in which he leaves his own name out. And then you have Simon Peter, and then you have Philip, and then you have Nathanael, who again most people regard as the same as the disciple Bartholomew. Now there were five, and there were five good ones, weren't there? But did you notice the sovereignty of God? They didn't all come in the same way. And we do need to be careful. We need to be very careful. You know, some seem to come in a strange way. And some don't seem to be so clear at the beginning. Oh, but it's this being brought to the Lord Jesus, like the children's hymn, ye must be brought to Jesus. But it's the walking it out, it's the following the Saviour, it's the enduring to the end, it's being preserved in Jesus. Now you find the first two, Andrew and the other disciple, they heard John the Baptist preaching, and the preaching of John the Baptist was blessed to them. They were called under the gospel ministry. Now, Simon Peter, he didn't come through the preaching at all. He must have heard, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't come through it. He came through a little simple testimony of his brother. And you know, in the annals of the Church of God, there have been some people who've been brought up under the truth and sat under the truth, and perhaps just a casual remark as they're going out through the chapel door, and that's done the deed. The Lord's sealed it home. But then this fourth case, different from the others, it was the direct, personal work of the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus would go forth. It was his eternal purpose. There was a divine necessity. He would go forth. And he found Philip. And he said, follow me. And Philip did. And then when you come to Nathanael, well, it seems a little bit confusing. There seem to be one or two things. Philip makes a testimony. And yet, let's be clear, it was a muddled testimony, wasn't it? He said, we found him. Now, what a good testimony that was. We found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Then he said, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Well, he wasn't the son of Joseph. And To speak of him as Jesus of Nazareth, that was a despised title, and it seemed almost to throw doubts immediately into Nathanael's heart. He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then you find the Lord Jesus himself at work, clearing everything up. So, the mystery of divine sovereignty, they shall come. There is a period known to God when all the sheep redeemed by blood shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. But there is a point here of warning. I believe many a young person has been tried on this point. They hear another speak, and they say, but that's not exactly my experience. They read an obituary, they read an old book, and they say, well, that's not really how I've been told these things. Oh, but the point is, well, it's two vital points, isn't it? In every case, a sinner brought to feel his need of a saviour, and that sinner led to the saviour as the only ground of his hope. Let's be clear, there is an experience set out in the Word of God. There must be the new birth. There must be faith and repentance. There must be leaving the world. There must be resting on Christ and Christ alone. So there must be an experience. But as Philpott said, oh, beware of ever setting up a rigid experience, trying to make everyone come the same way in which I came. Some it's an immediate work, some wait long, some it's so clear, some there seems to be the uncertainty. Some have much darkness at first, and then the glorious light and liberty of the gospel. Some walk in the light at first, but find the latter stages worse and travel much by night. But you know what the great point is? You've got to come back to it. The sure, solid foundation, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, it's that beholding him as led by the Spirit of God, beholding him by faith, beholding him in prayer, beholding him in humility, beholding him in helplessness, beholding him in complete dependence, beholding him and him alone as the ground of your hope. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well then, these few thoughts generally on what followed after what we read of John's wonderful ministry here. What blessing there was in the latter part of this chapter. These followers of the Lord Jesus. But it comes to this, doesn't it? May I be a follower of the Lord Jesus. And whatever I know or I don't know, whatever other people know or don't know, may it be mine. By God giving faith to behold the Lamb of God, and to say, here it is, I find my heaven, while upon the Lamb I gaze. Well now, to come to the words. the day following, again, the next day after, John stood with two of his disciples, Andrew and John. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So there's nothing wrong in the minister taking the same text 2 days together. And it's not vain repetition. John the Baptist preached one day, Behold the Lamb of God. And the following day, it was just the same gospel. You know, I think there are some of you, you're not offended. If you hear the gospel one week and you hear the same gospel the next week, sometimes it's Holy Ghost emphasis. Oh, but living souls, do not tire of hearing a minister say, Behold the Lamb of God. They don't tire of hearing a minister point out the place where grace abounds, direct you to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. The time of the glorious evangelical revival in the 1700s, when England was turned upside down through the faithful preaching of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. George Whitefield, who seemingly was blessed to thousands, he continually took the same text, Ye must be born again. And in the end, people asked him, they said, Well, why is it? Why is it you always keep preaching from that same text? Ye must be born again. And that godly man thought for a moment. He said, Well, because ye must. The necessity of it. Ye must be born again. Oh, but how many people were affected by a preaching of that same text, and that same doctrine, and that same experience under the Holy Spirit's blessing. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Now, as far as we can tell, he'd preached from that same text and that same subject the day before, and as far as we know, nothing happened. There was no, we don't know here of any gracious effect of it. The multitude who gathered, these glorious tidings of the gospel, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We don't hear of any gracious effect of it. And the next day, the same subject, the same glorious truth, and there were two clearly brought out under it. Thou knowest not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike shall be made good. Oh, but there were two good ones, weren't they? Andrew and John. Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, that's it. They heard him speak, but they didn't follow him, they followed Jesus. And you know, that's the true desire of every real God-sent preacher, that the people might hear him speak, but not be followers of him. They might hear him speak, and that they might follow Jesus. You know, real gospel preachers are not party men. There have been party men, you know, in the past, and they gathered people after them. They heard them speak, and they followed them. They used to say of the godly Erskine brothers in Scotland that their hearers lifted them so high that they failed to see the Saviour behind them. Now, may we ever be kept from that. They heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And it seems that literally they had been disciples, followers of John, but now literally they left him to follow Jesus. And John was not offended. There's grace there. This my desire is now fulfilled. He must increase. I must decrease. Like those two covenanters walking to the vast assemblies of in those days of real prosperity in Scotland. I think it was preaching in Glasgow. One was James Durham, one was Andrew Gray. And they went along, and the people were thronging their way along to church. And it came to, there were two churches for two ministers, and they came to a place, and they saw them all going in one direction, and only a few going the other direction. And the one said to the other, "What fools they are to leave you and follow me." And the other said, "No, my brother, I rejoice in whatever way Christ is preached." Now, it needs a lot of grace to preach us there, because one of the old Lancashire ministers often used to say, "We all like people to think well of us." That's the flesh, isn't it? But they heard him speak. And they gloried in what he spoke, and they delighted in what he spoke. But they followed Jesus. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, briefly this evening, I'd like just to speak to you in three different ways concerning this following of Jesus. It's a great point to be a follower of Jesus. And you know, in one sense, the New Testament almost speaks as if believing on the Saviour and following the Saviour are the same thing. But they follow Jesus. Now, first of all, one or two comments on how they follow Jesus as it's recorded here. Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" Now let's be clear. The Lord Jesus didn't ask them that question because he didn't know the answer. Of course he knows all things. But he saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" I think there are two things here. One is to search their hearts. And we do need our hearts searching, don't we? If we say we're following the Lord, what is it? When he was on earth, there were many who followed him. It was for the loaves and the fishes. There were many who followed him. Well, the time came when they said, "Crucify him." It's a good question to everyone here this evening. Why have you come? Is it just custom? What seek ye? Is there anyone here who's come this evening with a longing desire to behold the Lamb of God? Whom, what seek ye? But secondly, it was to encourage them, to talk to him, to open their hearts, to hold nothing back, to tell him their concerns. And in that sense, it's a very loving invitation to an inquiring soul. What seek ye? Tell him everything. He won't be offended. They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And again, there are two things here. They called him Rabbi, the name given to a teacher, which has been interpreted, "Master." They wanted the Lord to teach them. They didn't think they knew everything. It's a solemn thing if you get a young person or an older one and they think they know all the answers. Have you ever noticed David, the psalmist? He was a great man. He was a king in Israel. But also is the man over after God's own heart, but in the Psalms. He's continually saying, "Lord, tell me. Lord, show me. Lord, teach me." You know, the mark of the followers of the Lamb of God is this: they shall ask their way to Zion with their faces thitherward. Rabbi, which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" The second thing, they wanted to be where Jesus is. Now that's real religion. Where dwellest thou? It wasn't just a sort of outward inquiry. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to be found where Jesus is. Where dwellest thou? Well, of course, if a minister had grace and ability and time, he could preach many a sermon on this, where dwellest thou? He dwells in his holy word, doesn't he? In the promises. And he dwells in the midst of his people, in their solemn assemblies. And he dwells in the hearts of his own people. Oh, there's a lot of answers to it. But this desire to be found where Jesus is, where the Lamb of God is, now and eternally. He saith unto them, come and see. And some people have said that this is the first recorded word of the Lord Jesus that he spoke after he began his earthly ministry. Come and see. His kind condescension to them, and they came. Oh, what a meeting it must have been. Some people have said, how sad it is that we don't know what took place at this meeting. But there are so many things like that in Scripture, aren't there? If they were for our good, they'd be recorded. But what a meeting. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So, first of all, how these two favoured disciples were helped immediately to leave all and to follow the Lord the Lamb. And now secondly, with all God's people, there is a following of the Lamb of God by faith. As the Holy Spirit teaches them their need, they are brought by faith to follow the Lord Jesus in his goings forth from everlasting, to follow him as he came into this world of sin and sorrow, to follow him in his teaching, to follow him in his miracles, to follow him in the beautiful promises he made, and then to follow him to the garden and the cross, and to follow him in his death and in his glorious resurrection, follow him to the Mount of Olives, follow him up to heaven, and see him there exalted. Now, that's a following of the Lord Jesus by faith. But the point of it is not just following as if it were a story of outer interest. That sinner who by faith the Holy Spirit enables to follow the Lord Jesus all through in that great work of redemption, he's brought to rest his everlasting all there. Now that's living faith, and that's a true follower of Christ. And is that you? Dear Jesus, my Saviour, thy truth I embrace, thy name and thy natures, thy spirit, thy grace, and trace the pure footsteps of Jesus, my Lord, and glory in him whom proud sinners abhor. Now that's a true follower of the Lord the Lamb. They heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. As I said just now, through the New Testament and through the Gospel, it almost seems as believing on the Saviour and following the Saviour are the same thing. It's by faith. It's the Holy Spirit's work. And then to come to the third thing, and that is, there's a following of the Lord's people in that narrow way which leads to heaven. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. It's a well-trodden pathway. It's a well-beaten pathway. And the followers of the Lord, blessed by living faith in the dear Lamb of God, they're called to deny self and take up the cross and to follow him. Now, what a word is that in the book of the Revelation. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That word, whithersoever, is a big word, isn't it? And doesn't it try you? And don't we feel to come short? And yet we wouldn't have the standard, Lord. But it's one thing to seek to follow the Lamb some of the way, to follow the Lamb when it pleases us, to follow the Lamb when things go well, to follow the Lamb when people speak well of us. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They mark the footsteps that he trod. His zeal inspires their breast, and following their incarnate God, possess the promised rest. They heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. You see, there was a leaving all things with these first disciples. And there was this, there was that going after Christ, and it was drawn by his Spirit, and it was constrained by his love. It was so at the beginning with these. They wanted to be where the Lord Jesus was. There was an attraction in him. He was the one thing needful. They wanted to go after him. They wanted to follow him. And that word we have later in the chapter, and then in so many other places in the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus said, follow me. Now you see, some follow fashion. Some follow the world. Some follow men. Some follow even good people. And that word still stands, and it will stand to the end of time. Follow me. It's to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. To follow him as he leads. Not to get in front of him. But when he moves, to follow after. Behold, this is the risen Saviour, the dear Lamb of God, once slain, now exalted. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Have I not told you? How beautifully this was opened up when Israel had to cross the River Jordan. Now, it was an impossible thing. Jordan was in flood at that time, and there wasn't any bridge or ford or ferry boat. It was impossible for them to cross. You've not passed this way heretofore. But the Lord told them the way they had to walk. The holy Ark of the Covenant had to go before them, carried by the priests. It must go before them right down into Jordan, and they had to follow. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth goeth before you. And of course, in all its fullness, the Holy Ark of the Covenant represented Christ, the dear Lamb of God. Now you see, that's it. The way before you. Life, with its path before thee, lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. But they hadn't got to get in front of the ark. It was clearly commanded. But it was a dreadful thing if once the ark began to move, if they held back, if they didn't follow. They got to keep their eye firmly on the ark to see if it stopped or if it moved. And if it stopped, they had to stop. And if it moved, well, they got to go after it. Now, that's it with you and me. They follow Jesus. He's gone before. He leads by his Spirit. He leads by his word. And his people are called to follow after him. It's a narrow way. And of course, there is an open profession of the Lord's name. And the Lord has made it clear what that open profession it is. Behold, the covenant, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth, he goeth before you. He is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But, you know, sometimes it's how can I go? That word that Samuel spoke, when God commanded him to go down to the house of Jesse and anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king over, the poor man was terrified. He said, how can I go? He said, I can't. I daren't. I won't. Saul will kill me. Now, he did go. And if it's the Lord's will that you go, you will go. But how could they go forth? Jordan, the swellings of Jordan threatening them, threatening to swallow them up, to destroy them. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth goeth before thee. And all they had to do was to follow. And when they came there, the waters of Jordan divided. The Lord's able to make a way for you where there is no way. He says, I will go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass. I'll cut asunder the bars of iron. You know, it's the Lord who's going to do it all. And the one thing he commands his people is to follow. So are we there, where Christ has led, following our exalted head, made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. And so it is at last. Because when we think of the crossing of Jordan, we think especially of Jordan's, the river, the cold river of death. And that question, how wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan? how wilt thou do? The only answer is, if the dear Lamb of God has gone before, and he has, and if constrained by his love, we're enabled to follow, then, and only then, we shall go safely through Jordan, nor fear to cross that gloomy sea, since thou hast tasted death for me. And they heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £881, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pickett next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 732. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. 732.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us forever. Amen.